Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the WPTF Weekend Gardener. I'm Mike Raley, and Rufus Edmondson is over there with his glasses, watermelon glasses,
watermelon glasses, yes.
Boy, that was a hit. She's such a good marketer. I mean, she was a marketer before she was manager. She knows her stuff, man.
Yeah.
Those are so... Everybody who comes to the farmer's market should get those.
Yeah, only Rufus can pull that off.
Okay.
It looks good.
Yeah. That's right. Right. So are you okay this morning?
Well, yes. Our wonderful outing yesterday with our...
Didn't we have a good time?
Our friend Cliff Joyner down in Nashville. Nelson, we drove by Michael's home place and his heart started palpitating.
Yeah.
And we had a wonderful lunch with a nice young lady, and I said... anybody ever give you $100 tip? She said, yeah.
Well, we came close. We didn't quite get there.
Well, you don't know whether we did or not.
Oh. Well, how about that? Well, good for you.
You don't know whether we did or not.
Well, I saw what was on the table. I didn't, that's great. Well, gosh, the food is so good.
Oh, my.
Yeah. It used to be called the library. I don't know if it's... I need to find the name of that place for... If you're passing through Nashville, not Tennessee, the real Nashville, North Carolina.
Yeah. Extensive menu, too.
Yeah. And how was your cheeseburger?
Wonderful. Very... Yeah. About...
Filled
about,
you up.
About 3/4 inch thick.
Yeah.
A real...
I had good. They're famous for their chicken salad, and it's just outstanding. And so we have had a wrap and some homemade chips.
You said we wrapped. I don't remember that.
We didn't do that. I thought about trying a session as we were riding along there on 64, but I think you were sleepy, from that cheeseburgers. We had a great time seeing Cliff Joyner, and we got some new Cliff Joyner sayings of the morning that we can share with you throughout next year. And Nelson Cox is here. And
good morning.
You don't mind joining us old men?
I love it. I've got this, gotten to spend 2 nice events with Rufus this past week. So,
well, Nelson, tell him about that wonderful
event. Were you the MC or the maitre d'?
He was both.
I was the waiter, the chief waiter. And okay. Nelson, tell him about that wonderful event. Yeah. I enjoyed
Please
myself
do.
So much.
So it was, the Guardian Angel Thrift in Fuquay Varina. This year is their 25th anniversary. And they're... nonprofit goes to dementia, Alzheimer's, which we kind of partner with North Carolina Dementia Alliance. So the money stays local, goes to researchers. We had a wonderful program. We had a gala on my favorite campus, NC State, and Rufus was our kind of MC, if you will. And we raised a bunch of money, which again, it stays in North Carolina, and it goes to different universities and their research programs for figuring out how to cure or stop Alzheimer's and dementia. So I'm just really happy to be part of that association, and I roll off the board this year. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what else I can get into.
And I was lucky enough to be able to bid on a quilt that her mother did that is absolutely beautiful. I have used it in my recliner on three nights.
So you're curling up with that recliner.
Oh, it's just
you didn't bring it with you.
I'm going to be like Linus with that blankie.
Well, don't tear it up. Don't tear it up. Well, that's wonderful.
So the great event, and of course, both you and Mike were at the Super Kids Gala at Pam's, and we're very happy about that. We again raised, I don't know how much money, maybe close to $65,000 or $70,000.
That's fantastic.
Nice.
And there'll be a lot of kids get to go to school
because
of that. So thank you both for being so faithful and so extraordinarily generous. You don't make any money off of events that people paying to come in to eat. You have to have the generosity of individuals to really make some money on an event.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Well, it's an event anytime you show up, Rufus.
Yeah.
That used to say a lot about, oh, God, here he comes.
Well, and we started an endowment several years ago, so that will continue the legacy long after, different boards roll off or different executive directors. Yeah. Another event that we have is Friday, I believe that's maybe November 7th, but we're having a Sporting Clays event out at Drake's Landing in Fuquay.
Oh, I've got some pictures of you.
Yep.
You and your friend Pam.
That's right.
Well, that's skeet shooting.
That's right.
It's nice to see Pam.
Yeah.
Pretty girl.
Back out. Got her back out.
Hey, today is Hot Dog George's birthday.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, the Roast Grill. Happy birthday, George.
Yes.
And Mark Wethington, who is the director at the Ralston Arboretum. Happy birthday to you, Mark. And Bruce Finniger, who is one of my bosses. He's head of the North Carolina News Network. And what a great guy he is. And his dad was this big sales, broadcast sales executive in New York. And he's got, he hung around with David Brinkley and all kinds of people. He's got, So, happy birthday to all. Happy birthday to you if you're having a birthday today. So, Nelson, you've been walking around the garden. I know Rufus has.
Oh, it was so dark this morning that
I know.
I had to wait till
so dark
till 7:20 to get some light to walk around.
I guess because we are, it's getting longer and longer into the year, and the days are getting shorter.
Well,
and
I worked with my mother at the farm this past Sunday and Monday, and she had a nice little surprise. She has. She likes the daffodil Tahiti. It's kind of a nice formal double. And then she had just some straight kind of jonquils or kind of like the old Dutch master. They're just the yellow. And she has a bunch of snowdrops. I feel like there's 200 and some snowdrops. And then she's got lots of daffodils, the snowdrops, and then there was one other bulb that wasn't crocus. Oh, I know, Dutch iris. Love Dutch iris.
Mm-hmm.
Yellows and purples. So I have started digging holes.
I was going to say, you're the digger.
Yep, and it is so dry. It is so dry. I have a bulb auger, and I mean, we do have a rock farm. We've got some great soil, but there's a lot of rocks. So I went through two battery packs, so I said, well, time to get my little digger out, and I'll just use my own battery pack.
Mm-hmm, on your back, yeah. Well, those augers, I've never felt comfortable with that because you just dig one hole, and most of the time one bulb only, unless you start digging holes all over the place with it.
Well, and I think in reality, if you had prepped beds versus just tackling, an undisturbed area, it would go quite well because you can really pile it a lot of holes very quickly and loosen the soil. But what I found was I think I did the first 75 holes with the battery auger, and I ended up coming back with my I call it my sharpshooter. So I went back and kind of cleaned them all out and made them a little wider and give them lots of room. And Mom was supposed to go to get us some bulb tone this week, but I'm just getting the holes dug. It's a little early to plant, typically.
I have made a mistake. I planted maybe 3 weeks ago. It is. Now, one thing I've used, Nelson and Mike, at my age, you know, if you want to stand up on a shovel, that's a little dangerous. Post-hole diggers.
Post-hole diggers will work.
Are good things to dig a hole for bulbs. Post-hole diggers.
You got a PhD, post-hole digger.
That's exactly right.
There's so many jokes about post-hole diggers. That's just...
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well.
But it's a little early to plant bulbs in this area.
Well, it won't hurt them, though.
It's probably not going
to
hurt
them. It's a good time to pick them out.
But with the extended warm weather we're having, you don't want to force any growth. So,
yeah.
You know, think like a bulb.
Your wildflowers, Rufus.
They're sprouting. I messed up on that. I put out two bags of white quarrels, wild seed.
They work, man.
Man, they work. They're all sprouted. I'll have to redo it.
Well, you'll be
surprised. You'll still have a bunch of seed that will come up. Trust me.
Okay.
We'll have to go over to Wyatt Quarrel someday.
I want
to
do that.
70, and there's some fans, if all of them are still there, from my fans of the Weekend Gardener.
Yeah.
At Wyatt Quarrel.
I'd love to go and just go hog wild if they'd sell me some seeds.
Not a retail, but a wholesale place. Over there, but
Chuck White, he's a good guy.
He is fine. You know, the first time I met him was at the barbershop.
Oh, really?
Years ago, professional barbershop at Cameron Village.
Wow.
Yeah. Nice guy.
Pretty good guy. They have their big event. You know, they used to have their event at the downtown convention, and when they closed it down several years ago to remodel. He said, well, we're going to have it at the Myrtle Beach Convention, and it stuck with him. He loves it. He loves beach music. I used to come out to Red's all the time here on Capitol, and he's a shagga.
So. I knew Red. Cat Bird.
I'm not going to comment about my times at Red's.
Made a fool of yourself, huh?
Sure. Total fool. That.
Hey, Richard, I'm sure you've never made a fool of yourself. How are you today?
Well, it's easier to do than one can imagine.
Oh, it is. Oh, you don't even have to try.
Well, what happens when your day can start out with daggummit and end up with a smile?
Ooh, I don't know.
It's a trip to the dentist.
Well, I don't know about that, Richard.
My smile might be turned downwards.
The great thing is the Weekend Gardener gives you a lot of information you can sink your teeth into.
Well, that's true. We certainly do.
Farmer's Market Report. I mean, there's a
most of the time
there.
We got off on a terrible tangent last week talking about agricultural products, and Rufus got into chicken killings, and you know, it just did not work out at all. We just don't need to talk about things like that.
Oh, okay. Well,
I've had some comments about that.
I'm sure you have.
Yes. One woman said, "You scared my little boy to death."
See?
Well, it's just, farm life makes you all the greater host because...
it's a tough life.
You've seen both sides, work and pleasure of the planting community.
Well, I'm going to tell you what, our cows got out, and I was so mad. We had a standoff. She went over to my cabbage patch and was just pulling them up. And I'm like, she's just
Is that where the cabbage patch dolls come from?
Yeah.
I was always right because from Nelson's.
Yeah.
They did. Huh. Oh, my gosh. I was just so
Well,
upset.
She didn't eat them. She just wanted to pull them up and play with them.
No, she ate them. She pulled them up, soil roots and all, and you know, they're just getting some good size. But broccoli's looking good.
You didn't whoop that cow, did you?
Oh, I was yelling at her and trying to shoo her, and she's like, "Oh, this is good. We don't have this out in the pasture." So we had we had about eight cows just roaming around the backyard.
Well, the cow was probably saying, "Don't shoo me. That's for horses."
Yeah. Richard, you didn't grow up on the farm, did you?
No, but I've always been very, very interested in and thank the farmer three times a day at least.
Yeah. Well, I did the next best thing. I married a farmer's daughter.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
this last year at the farmer's market, I bought some nasturtiums, and I was...
That's like saying Iris wristwatch three times.
Yeah.
I'd say that three times fast.
I didn't know it when I bought it. It was from the allium vendor they have in the spring. And I was reading a book on spices, and I didn't even know that that's where capers come from.
What, nasturtium?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you can, and the flowers are very edible.
I didn't know that.
Flowers are very edible. People put them in salads.
Yeah, for good reason. And they just process the buds. It's really extremely labor-intensive. But
well, I've learned I like nasturtium. I soak the seed. I found out if I soak the seeds, they're going to germinate a lot quicker.
Oh, great. Well, I'm definitely going to
buy
some more for next year. They're cooking something Mediterranean. They're a great addition to it.
Well, I think they're great in a flower pot for the hanging variety.
And they're
beautiful flower.
And they're very heat and resistant and everything else. It's a wonderful plant.
Well, that's wonderful.
We learned something today about nasturtiums.
Absolutely. See, get a little education on this show. Richard, appreciate you calling, buddy.
All right. Y'all have a great one, and keep up the good work.
You don't have any jokes?
Well, you tried to, Mike.
I know. They went right over my head this morning. Jokes about dentists, I'm not sure.
Well, and the other interesting thing gives me a great appreciation for being human and chewing. Primates typically... like monkeys typically chew for 6 hours a day, and it's cooking that made us more intelligent because we can do other things like get on the radio, listen to music.
Yeah,
not
that's true. That's true. Well, how much do, I mean, cows chew constantly, don't they?
Yeah.
Chewing you could.
Yeah.
But I wonder how much, you'll never hear a cow chewing the fat.
But they also have, what, 7 stomachs?
It's 8.
Yeah, got to keep it going. Got to keep the process going.
Yep.
No wonder they always look so perplexed.
I'll never forget when I thought I was going to major in animal husbandry and went to NC State. Remember the Future Farmers of America? They had that cow out there with a hole in her gut.
Oh, I know. You used to ride by the vet school and you'd see several.
Big plug in it.
Yeah.
Poor cow.
Pull that thing out and look down in there and watch your digestive system.
And that turns you off. You decide to go to Carolina then, right?
I don't know. I got over there to Chapel Hill, and something was in the air that day and led me astray.
Well, that's all right. Richard, thank you very much.
Y'all have a great one.
You too, my friend.
Every day of Thanksgiving.
That's right.
Well, Richard was talking about growing up on a farm. There's something about that where you see life come and life go, and you realize that we all have to be stewards of the land. I remember my daddy would say, don't waste that product. That's why farmers saved everything you can ever save. In my garage right now, you would think I'm still on the farm. Every little piece of twine, baling wire, you name it because you needed it, but you learn to be stewards of the land. And I remember in 4-H you groom the little steer to take off to the fair, and you had all that joy and all that time, and you realized that when Winn-Dixie bought that, it was going to be somebody's hamburger.
Flank steak.
And so you learn a lot on the farm.
You do indeed. You do indeed.
Yeah.
All right, 919-860-9783. You're listening to The Weekend Gardener. More coming up here on WPTF. We're back on WPTF. Mike Rayleigh here, and Rufus Edmonston is with us, and Nelsa Cox, who is retired. She owned, for how long? 20 years, 25 years, the 20, Garden
22.
Hut? 22 years, the Garden Hut in Fuquay Arena, now is Logan's. And so you are drifting from the beach to Guilford County, to the farm.
I'm a drifter.
I tell you, you're all over the place.
Back and forth.
And I'm sure you're getting more involved with other things now, like Guardian Angel.
Exactly. Can put a little more attention to that. And
We still rely on your incredible expertise on gardening.
Thank you.
And I appreciate you continuing this.
Well, you're welcome.
This
thank
journey
you.
With us.
Thank you for having me.
I am so glad you're here. And Brother Rufus, too. So I don't know where we left off. Nasturtiums?
Yeah.
We don't talk about it. When was the last time we talked about that flower?
It's been a bit. And we think of it more in the summer, I guess. But, I was saying that it's a little early to plant spring flowering bulbs, which, you plant in the fall. But I like for us to have like a good hard frost before we plant them. So
yeah,
I was trying to get that little tip in.
Good luck with that.
I know.
What do we look for when we're finding these bulbs? And it's not just daffodils, jonquils. There are a lot of other kinds of spring flowering bulbs we can pick out. But what do we look for?
Well, most reputable garden centers, you're going to find what I call an A grade or a higher quality. You're going to pay a little more, but it's a larger flower bulb. So the bulb itself is a little bit larger. So you're going to find the quality, but there's crocus, certainly there's tulips, and that's where you want to be careful with your tulips. You want to find ones that require a low chill versus many days of chilling, unless you're trying to refrigerate them for so long. And because there's nothing prettier than putting tulip bulbs that have been, say, refrigerated or chilled with your fall pansies. So you put the bulbs in the container, the tulips in the container, about 5 inches, 4 or 5 inches, and then top dress with pansies and other things. And then in the spring when they pop up, they're stunning.
Yeah.
But there's so many different bulbs you can plant for spring flowering. Lots of different types of daffodils. There's the little grape hyacinths, the little scillas, the snowdrops, just beautiful bulbs.
I ordered something called Windflower.
Okay.
I'm anxious about that. Now, on tulips, I'm going to give some personal experience, which I know a person like you knows more than half an inch than I do in 100 years. But I can't find any that will keep coming back up. I just don't think this is a good climate for the tulip, at least bulbs I've got.
But Tom Monaco, I think they've done research. Tom Monaco was, for many years, the head of the horticulture department at NC State. He's a friend of mine. He's been on the gardening committee at St. Michael's with me. And I distinctly remember him mentioning plant the shorter varieties of tulips.
Well, Dr. Gusta Hertog was the bulb expert.
Yeah.
And he passed away, but he did tons of research, and even has a garden named after him at the Kirkenhof in Holland. And so he worked on bulbs in this area in tulips. And so yes, there's some truth to that, but it has to do with a species that has, I think it's the Gregia, that has the ability to perform with fewer chilling hours. So yes, there are some that do better than others.
How do we find those in the store?
Yeah.
Well, hopefully if you go to a, a local retail garden center, they select tulips that are going to do better for this area. Now, I will say this, voles love tulips. So they need to be either surrounded by a permatil or some type of, we used to use some rabbit wire and lay it down in a large bed we prepared and lay the tulips on the bottom so the voles couldn't get to them. But I think that they do better. I treat them as annuals because, yes, they're just not going to come back that great. But I love putting them in containers. But home run with the other type bulbs coming back. But yeah, tulips are just a little different.
Yeah, they're happier in Michigan.
I'm not dead wrong then.
No.
Thank you.
No, it's but you'll find once in a while some will come back. We had some red ones come back for years and years, and we decided that it might have something to do with we like to think that it was had to do with my father-in-law, who passed away many years ago and loved those red tulips.
Okay.
And so we kind of like to think that that's why they came back for so long. And I think they were crowded out by other things at some point. But they do like good drainage. Seemed these were on an incline.
And you didn't have voles.
Well, I know that there are there have been voles out in our yard and moles. But they went after every time I would plant a small tree or shrub at one point in a certain area, they would go after that.
Isn't that so?
And I'd just prop them up and let the roots. I mean, they'd kind of prune the roots.
I had a really pretty coral bark maple that I planted back in, I believe it was March I planted it in February, March, and anyway, I was looking at it. I was out, like I say, digging these holes, and I'm like, "Why is there branches broken? Deer are rutting up against them."
Oh no!
It broke my heart.
That is such a beautiful.
Broke my heart.
But you gotta have. Usually the maple, the coral bark maple needs some sunlight.
Yes,
in
full sun.
To keep that red.
Yeah.
Keep that red color on there. Extraordinary plant. So. Very cool. I don't know. It's when should we, December, or just as you say, right after the first frost, planting those spring flowering bulbs.
Yeah. Hopefully we'll get a little bit of moisture, soften the ground up, but we do need a couple of good frost before you want to sink those bulbs in to rest for the winter, and they'll maintain the flower bud is actually already in. The bulb itself, so you just want to keep it dormant until it's ready to awaken in the spring.
Did you tell us what about windflowers? I know you mentioned windflowers. What is special about windflowers? I'm not familiar with them.
Well, Nelson needs to tell you, I saw them in the Breck catalog, and I ordered 100, and they just looked like they were going
to
be the...
Well, how long is it going to take you to find 100 bulbs?
Well, they're small things.
Well... There, it's an anemone bulb, I believe, is one of the genus, the bulb itself, anemone.
Yeah.
So they kind of look like dried up prunes. Is that what you noticed?
I haven't got them yet.
Oh, you hadn't got them yet. Okay. Well, they look like dried up prunes.
But they look like little daisies. They're about six inches tall.
Yes, they're beautiful. But you want to soak those bulbs probably before you put them in the ground.
Great. I will do that.
Yeah. So, or, you know, plant them when you know we're going to have rain just to...
And I think they can take some shade, too. I've got under a nice tree over there.
Well, and I mean, the thing is, too, a lot of bulbs certainly will say, you know, sun, but if you think about a deciduous forest or the woodland's edge, I mean, most deciduous or... But trees, plants that lose their foliage, you can plant them because they're going to get that winter sun, and their chances are they're going to bloom before leaves flush back out. So early blooming anemones, windflowers, you call them anemones, are going to probably flower in March, early April.
Well, that's a good hint about soaking them. I've got a big peck bucket and dump them in there when they come in. Wait until the first, second, or third frost.
Yeah.
And get my post hole diggers out.
Well, it's going to be tedious.
Yeah.
You might have to call Palmer.
I will. Well, I'll let Palmer dig the holes, and I'll count the 76. Anemones out.
There you go.
77.
Yeah. And I always do what they say don't do about spacing. I always put more in than I should because I'm impatient.
You're going to take all 100 and dump them in a big hole.
No, I will dig 4 or 5 holes for that.
Okay. All right. Well,
you get my age, you don't want to have a 6-inch camellia or
no
other things like that.
No.
And when you get your age, you're better at supervising anyway.
Oh, there's no question about it.
Yeah.
Well, like my daddy, he was a good supervisor. Get out there and hoe that corn.
Well, look
like
at him. He had all those boys and your sister and everybody out there. He had
five
to do boys. Some supervising.
He had a good workforce. It was like a chain gang. Sister Betty got to just bring the water to us.
Well, your mother had her busy, I'm sure.
Oh, that what we called at that time, dinner, middle of the day. She'd have three meats.
That's right. Well, that's what
four vegetables.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Dinner is at in midday and supper.
Yeah.
Or supper.
And get your elbows off the table. Quit that slouching.
All right, everybody sit up. Sit up straight here.
There you go.
Get a hump on your back.
That's right.
Yeah. That's what they tell me. All right, 919-860-9783, 919-860-WPTF. More of the Weekend Gardener coming up. All right, we're back on WPTF, the Weekend Gardener. Mike Riley here, along with Rufus Edmiston and Nelsa Cox, 919-860-9783, 919-860-WPTF. And did anybody see any rain this morning? I saw a couple of sprinkles, but that's about it.
A little misty coming down Capitol.
I don't know if that front, I guess it hadn't come through yet.
Just enough to aggravate.
Yeah,
by the way, you know, as we were going yesterday, I was trying to call our friend Mark Roberts. I finally got him.
Oh, good.
Mark is a listener to The Weekend Gardener.
Okay.
And a fine former employee at WRAL.
He's really a super broadcaster. Yeah. I used to be on the news beat with Mark. Different stories over the years.
He had very high regards for you.
Oh, my.
When we had a conversation.
What a nice thing, as I do for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Mark, we like that you listen to The Weekend Gardener.
He's a funny guy.
Does he do the Ford stuff now? The Ford?
Yes.
He has his own agency, and he also does the Brain Game. They wanted him to continue with the Brain Game because it's so popular.
Yes. I like his voice.
Channel 5, yeah. So, and his brother is, John, has been a... I don't know if he's still doing anything now. I think he's still with Sirius XM, but he's been with Fox and he's done a lot of TV, NASCAR racing, sports and NASCAR racing.
Oh,
and I think he's in the real estate business now out in Nashville. But now he's very much like Mark. I've never seen them together, but they're both very jovial and funny, and there's a lot of laughing that goes on. And but John's really, really good with NASCAR stuff.
Ah.
So a very talented family. I think they grew up in Washington D.C. area.
Oh wow!
Yeah. So glad to have them down here.
He sure loves North Carolina now.
Yeah, and North Carolina loves him too. All right, Billy. Well, we got Billy at the farmer's market. That's fine. We'll take Billy anytime. Billy, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, everything's good out here.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
It's already starting to start rain.
You say you're getting some rain?
No, not yet.
Oh, okay.
I think you said everybody's starting to scurry around.
I'd like some. You got something to spare, Billy. I'd like some.
Yeah. Well, it looks like there's a little bit of rain around on the radar, but I don't know that it's coming through us. There's some down east. It's kind of bypassing us, but it's very scattered, and I don't think anybody's going to get very much, if any, which is disappointment.
We do need it.
What are the farmers saying, Billy, about this dry weather? I mean, they get deluge and then dry. It's been like that the whole year, drought and... Well, not drought, but very dry.
Yeah. Farmers had to be very strategic this year with the dryness to start with and then the abundance of rain and now back to the dryness.
Yeah.
It's amazing how they take and can switch back and forth.
I know. So, or have we lost peas and butter beans for the year?
I believe we're about done with them.
Dadgummit. I hate that. That's a very sad day. I'll have to wear black today. You know, I'm going to change clothes, finding out about that. I love butter beans and peas.
Okay, Johnny Cash, you just do that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So,
but we got plenty of stuff to substitute.
Well, what you got?
Oh, we got all types of squash coming off, like our patty pan squash. And in fact, patty pan squash is amazing. I was down there the other day, and they had these yellow green squash that's shaped like patty pan. And there was, so I stopped her because I had never eaten. And she said, "Oh no, they're patty pan, and they are the best."
I've never heard the term before.
Patty pan.
Patty pan.
Oh yeah, my grandmother used to grow them. I think they're hard to cut.
That must be a demarcation line somewhere. We didn't have, but I don't know if we had those down east.
Yeah.
Patty pan. Must have called them something else. Huh?
Looked like a flying saucer almost.
Mm-hmm.
No, well, I don't know. I've seen them at the farmer's market and in the grocery stores, but I don't remember my mama fixing any.
I haven't heard that up west either. That's a new one on me.
Yeah, so they're the best. What do? Deep fat fry them or what?
You can do them like you do regular squash. You can
mush them up with some bacon grease, onion and bacon grease.
A lot of bacon grease.
Yeah,
when the honey gets some bacon, it's just good gracious mighty.
I know. Yeah, we save our bacon grease. My physician is not too thrilled with that idea, but we do that, and it's really good incorporated into the things like that, and some white cornmeal patties, and believe it or not, the best French fries in the world are cooked in bacon grease.
Really?
Yes.
Never heard tell.
I am telling you, my mama used to do that. I don't know where she got the recipe from, but I'll tell you, as the boys over in the holler used to say, it's larrapin.
Yeah, that blood sugar doctor would love that.
So, Billy, what other you got? Got patty pan squash and what else?
We got a few yellow squash still around. We have a lot of greens. I seen them bringing in some collards, the whole plant this morning, and I was down there. Let's see what else I saw. I saw turnips coming in, and potatoes, and of course, got sweet potatoes. And I don't know if I saw any kale or not. I forgot the
root. You know, talk about the kale, but the sweet potatoes, I saw some farmers down Brunswick County. It said that they have had a really rough crop this year. They're mighty small, the ones that they're able to salvage. They might leave them in the ground a little longer.
Yeah.
Because it's been so erratic and dry lately. So, this is sweet potato state.
Then they flooded.
Yeah. Yeah. Brunswick County got some terrible flooding down there. So, got to have sweet potatoes and a little bit of kale mixed in, I guess.
I bet you got some pretty broccoli coming in, too.
There is some pretty broccoli coming in. I was down there at the Moore's log and there was lady was saying, "Did you grow this yourself?" And they were like, "Oh, of course. You know, it's on our stand. We grow it." They said, "Well, I didn't even know it grew in around North Carolina."
Hey, hey, Billy, we got you on at an earlier time, and we got to run a spot. Do you mind hanging on for a few minutes?
That'll be fine.
And we'll talk to you some more coming up here on the WPTF Weekend Gardener.